The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It's been a day, but I love this like nighttime podcast moment that we're having.
Yeah.
It's relaxing.
I'm usually better. Like sometimes I have to do it like because of scheduling and stuff during the day. But yeah, the night is like, Are you a night person? You're like a night person.
I don't even know. Actually, I'm not a night person in the terms of being social.
You're like, a day party person.
Yeah, I'm a day party. I love how I feel in the morning with like a lot of energy. I love Mondays. Even though I don't have a normal job though, I'm not the person to be like really asking, but I love a Monday when I can like vacuum and light a candle and clean. I love that. It's good for me.
Well, thank you for being here. Everybody, welcome back to the B List. I'm B, of course, and I am joined by a really special guest today. We followed each other for a while and, it's so funny cause I was following you. Well, first off, everybody, it's Juliet Porter.
Hi guys.
The narrator, the star of MTV Siesta Key. And so for people that maybe don't know of, I mean, everyone's kind of heard of it. And you guys have like a really like kind of rabid fan base, but some people maybe don't watch MTV too. So the best way I describe it is like the, a reboot of The Hills or Laguna Beach.
Mm-hmm. But it like just doesn't hit the same.
Yeah.
I would say.
Oh, it's no, it hits. It definitely hits. It's just like totally different because it's for a different generation. And but we'll get all into that. And also creator, owner of JMP.
Label Swim.
Oh yeah. And you guys have Men Swimmer too now. I actually looked. So
yeah, we also have kids.
I saw.
So like, we're definitely focusing on women more for sure.
Okay. Yeah. And really interesting, like plus sizes too, and stuff like that. Is that considered plus sizing? I don't know anything about like sizing. So
body inclusivity is what we prefer to say. We're trying to kind of like break the stigma around just the term plus size in general. Yeah.
And making it something that's like other.
It's not other. Yeah. And it should be, everyone should be able to buy something that makes them feel sexy, something that's revealing and, you know, not have it be on a separate section of the site and, you can find it at the same place. You can find an extra, extra small, you know?
I'm so happy you found that because like, you know, it's perfect kind of thing for what you, like what your show is about and kind of your brand. And it just totally makes sense for you. And there's so many people that are on reality TV as you can, I'm sure you can, we'll speak about it, but there's a lot of people that can end up on TV and then don't really use the platform for like really kind of moving anything forward or doing
themselves. It's funny you say that because my manager asked me the other day if I have any money saved up, and I'm like, thank you for asking.
Yeah,
I do, thank you.
Yeah.
He's like, my other clients don't really, so I have to ask.
Are you with the same manager that you've had since like the beginning of the show?
I am, yeah. I'm with the same manager. I know, and that's not normal, I believe. Yeah. I haven't really discussed it with many other reality stars, but I've definitely been with him for a long time and he just knows me so well. He knows what I like. So it's like almost less work. You don't have to reintroduce yourself to someone, you know?
It's just better to stick with someone that you can trust and that knows your brand and kind of you're started somewhere. So, so the show is now like, I think, what is it? Season five. Five. Okay.
Yeah. Season five. But we do.
Because the way they shoot it, it's like two halves of a season. Yeah.
So it's technically season like a million. No, it's like eight. Season eight.
I've been doing my personal theory.
Yeah.
I think they do it that way to lock people into contracts for like, you know.
No, that's exactly like, why they do it.
Yeah.
That's not even a theory, honey.
Yeah.
That's the Hills did that.
So yeah.
Yeah. And I, you know, work with the creators of The Hills. So
yeah.
It's the same people that made The Hills have created Siesta Key. So they know what they're doing.
Let's get right into that. So Siesta Key, like I said, is like from the producers of Laguna Beach and The Hills, which by the way, like, you know, obviously like The Hills is a spinoff of Laguna Beach. I loved them both. But those are actually both spinoffs, or not spinoffs, but they were like inspired by 90210 Beverly Hills.
I thought it was The OC.
Or the OC.
Was Laguna, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm honestly, I don't know. That was before my time, to be honest.
Yeah, totally. But I'm like a television, obviously. I carry like a lot of shit in my head. But like 90210, just kind of the trajectory, because it starts with a bunch of friends in high school and then spins off into Melrose Place, which was like, takes place in Hollywood. And then it's like, they go there. So it's just similar. It's like interesting how this kind of like every couple of years comes back.
I mean, I think a lot of these, especially MTV, they like to do what they know has worked in the past.
Oh, yeah.
And it's always, obviously, you know, when it comes to television, scripted or not, it's cost money to take a risk. Yeah. And, you know, taking a risk and it flopping is bad for everyone. So trying to recreate something that has worked in the past is definitely their MO. I mean, there was Jersey Shore. No one knew it was going to blow up like it did. And then now there's Floribama Shore, there's Acapulco Shore, there's a bunch.
Oh shit! Oh, yeah, okay. I actually watched a couple of episodes.
One in Africa, I think. I don't know.
Oh shit! Okay.
Yeah.
That's so funny because we also bonded over the fact that we both know Chris Chalos. Like,
yes, I miss her.
Who used to be at MTV. Yeah, she's great.
Yes. Did you work at MTV?
I didn't, but I almost did because they. Funny story, before this podcast existed, they contacted me because MTV was launching, I don't know if they ever did, but they were launching like their own kind of brand of podcasts. And the podcasts were going to be, from what I understood, like reboots of shows. So like MTV Rap would have a podcast, House of Style would have a podcast, and they were trying to figure out where they would want me to be in there. They reached out to me. So I had a couple meetings, but in the end, I left with knowing Chris Chalos, who's like great.
I love her. I miss her. Yeah. We've had some memories.
Yeah.
I love the connections I made at MTV. I mean, we both know Michael, who was like my best friend. I literally spill my heart out to him.
We have so many people in common. It's nuts. And Jared.
Yeah. I love Jared. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love Jared. He's like my boss though. So we can't get like too close.
Yeah. I get it.
So let's not talk shit about him today.
No, we will not. No, we love everybody. Where was I at? Producers of Laguna Beach, The Hills.
Yeah. And how kind of like the background of Siesta.
I'm always like super interested in like how people came about these shows. Yeah. Like obviously, like, you know, I know a pilot was shot and then it's kind of shopped around. How did it kind of end up on your lap? Like, was it because you were fresh out of high school, right? Like you guys were all a friend group.
Yes. I was fresh out of high school. I had just apparently gotten like attractive and I like finally got out of my like phase where I was like a stick. I had no hips, no boobs. And I was like finally getting hot. And I think Alex, who used to be on the show.
Yeah, I'm still getting out of that.
Yeah, I'm we're still getting recovering. Out of that phase. I'm still in therapy for it. I'm just kidding. And so he like wanted to hang out with me and blah, blah, blah. So we were all a friend group. And then eventually his dad was like, oh my God, my son is so cool. I really want him to have like a reality show and just show the crazy life he lives. So he spent a ton of money. Yeah. Huge red flag. But I was 17 and I also was like, I love red flags. So let's do this. Yeah. I love the color red. Yeah. And then, so he spent a lot of money on a pilot and it was like very well done. And then they pitched it for like 2 years.
Yeah.
I think they were looking at like maybe Bravo. I mean, they went to a couple of networks and then I got a call when I was in college. And they're like, oh, what's happening? And I was like, oh, I don't know if I really want to do it.
Yeah.
And the dynamic of everything had changed a little bit. Like I was no longer.
Who was on the original? Was it like all the same people? Was it all the same people?
The original pilot?
Mm-hmm. Is it like you and Chloe and
a couple people I think were like fully cut. I can't remember. This was like seven.
Yeah,
it's
like yeah.
This was 8 years ago. Chloe was on it, Madison was on it, Alex was on it.
Okay.
Yeah, and that was it because Garrett wasn't there. I found Garrett. I said, okay. they were like looking for a hot guy. They needed like someone other than just Alex.
Yeah.
Someone better looking than Alex.
Better looking than Alex for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. And I found Garrett, and then he happened to be dating Kelsey, and they were like, oh my God, a model. We love this. Yeah. And they just ate it up. So I like to think of myself as starting Garrett's career. And then I'm kidding. But I said this to Mark Ford, who is the creator of the show one time. And he said, but I started your career. And I was like, oh, way to put me in my place.
Yeah, that's kind of true.
Me in my place.
Yeah, he was one of the producers of the Laguna Beach. So
yeah,
that's kind of how it got on your lap. And then you kind of just like took off from there.
Yeah. And I remember my mom being like, you cannot handle this. Your emotions are like out of control. You're not going to be able to, I just don't want this to go wrong. And, you know, she had seen Jersey Shore. She didn't like it. She didn't know what she wanted for her daughter, but she definitely didn't want me like hitting people on television.
Well, that's what she was going to get because
that's what happened, mom. But we all have our own journey. And I was like, I want my life to be crazy. Like I want it to be good, crazy, like fun. I want to have an adventure. I didn't want to just go to college and have a 9-to-5 and just like not be fulfilled. Like I rather have a crazy adventure that broke my heart, did something crazy, than like not live at all.
Yeah.
So I was like, I'm definitely going to take the risk and let's hope for the best.
It paid off. I mean, you got so many things out of it. It's kind of like, that's exactly what I was saying. It's like, I'm glad that you found the swimwear line because it's like something that you can like hold on to that'll last way
for
longer than the show.
And that's what I always wanted. I mean, that was when I was even speaking to my mom about this, I was like, I could do something. This can be my stepping stone into something that I really want to do, something that I never would have had the guts to do. And
yeah.
The show really did teach me so much. It gave me so much confidence that I was able to take that risk because it's scary starting a company, you know? And like, as much as I love bikinis, I wish that's all it took to run a business and have a company, but like, that's just a tiny fraction of having a brand.
And that's what you're covering right now on the show too. But we'll get into that for sure. The show definitely needs a gay.
I know. You know,
there was a gay once. There was like one
there
on
was
a, the.
I think there was multiple gays.
Yeah,
there was. I don't know how much you watched the show.
I think
season one was Tarek.
Oh, and yeah, no, he was the brown guy, right? He's like black, right? And he.
Well, there's another one, Joe, who was on season four.
Tarek, it was Tarek, and he was talking shit about you, and it was kind of weird and.
Yeah, well, they all talk shit about me, so I get them confused.
Well, that's like, another thing.
Yeah.
Well, that's another thing too, right? So, like, the original kind of thing was like Laguna Beach and the Hills were narrated by Lauren Conrad. Everybody knows that, right? Mm-hmm. It's from her perspective. And the first season of Siesta Key, you guys would take turns doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I guess some executive decision was made by like season two that they were just going to focus on your voice. Was that a conversation that you had with like they brought to you, or were you just told that you were going to now be?
Because
that's really a shift.
Yeah. So I think it was twofold. I think I was the best at speaking.
Yeah.
I think that I had more of like a compelling voice. I really felt the things I was reading. I mean, I'm reading off a script, right? I don't have control.
Yeah,
I'm not just saying what I want. Yeah. But I think that I also did theater in high school and I was really into that stuff. And I also think that with my relationship with Alex, it kind of put me in a place where I was going to be like the hero or the one that people wanted to root for because I was kind of always getting kicked down and coming back up. And I became their Lauren. I think they were always looking for that. And I'm not like her at all. I mean,
I was going to say like, it's kind of like, usually people are trying to make the comparison, but I think you're a lot more like Kristen Cavallari, but
for
that's
sure.
But that's like in 2022, that's what kind of people would almost rather someone who's a little more kick-ass than, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. And like, I struggle with it now because I sometimes think that I have to be, I'm trying to make myself someone I'm not, especially because I've had so many issues on the show in the past that.
And most of your 20s have been.
All of my 20s have been on this television show, all of my 20s. And, you know, sometimes I'm like, I want people to love me. I have to be what they want me to be. And I, even as hard as I try, I'm always just to the core myself. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's, I don't want people to see that. So it's been a struggle a little bit to like find my place, especially as I'm getting older and growing. Cause I'm at the point in my life right now where as I'm getting older and changing and wanting to be just more mature and I'm growing, the show doesn't seem to be growing with me.
So, yeah, so
it's hard.
So we didn't even cover this, but the show started in Siesta Key. You guys are in Siesta Key for about like 4 years. And then this past season, pretty much all of you guys moved to Miami, and it's a completely different ballgame because you guys are, you're in Miami. So it's like a totally different situation, which is exciting as, for the viewers to see like a completely different, I mean, obviously Miami is a totally different city. It's more colorful. It's the nightlife thing.
Everything.
Yeah. And there's new people. But like you, and we'll get into your relationship, but you know, your boyfriend doesn't necessarily feel comfortable being on the show. So now you kind of are dealing with like people coming into your life, but maybe don't want to be willing participants of this kind of experience.
Yeah. And that's been the curse of this. I mean, listen, like I never have dated saints. I mean, no one's perfect. No guy I've ever dated is perfect. No guy I ever will.
No guy on the show.
Perfect. No guy. Yeah. I don't think anyone's perfect, you know?
No, yeah.
And it's been hard because it has caused problems, but it's also like the show does bring things to light that were kind of being like hidden. Obviously, like cheating is a very obvious thing, but issues that you have in relationships that you weren't even like quite at that step. The show and production, they kind of bring it out of you and you're like, oh, wait a minute. Like, or that is something that I need to address and focus on, but I wasn't really at that stage yet. So it's hard because you really
kind of see yourself back too, and you see how you act in a relationship too. So you probably learn really quickly about that shit.
It does. Yeah. It's a lot of introspection, I believe. And I love that because I really feel like I'm a self-aware person. And I know that I'm also going to say this when we talk about White Lotus, men have a really hard time being incredibly masculine.
Yeah.
And men on the show, I mean, the straight men especially, which is most of them, they have a hard time kind of getting into that nitty gritty.
Yeah.
They want to hide it. They want to be on defense mode.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's tough. And I think my boyfriend Garrett, now, I think Garrett, you know, Garrett is, not everyone's made for TV, first of all.
That's not bad. That's not a bad thing. Like that's good.
No, for it's actually to be probably not, better. Yeah. God, if you're made to be on reality TV, you also need a therapist. But I think, you know, Garrett had a hard time just being that drama that they needed from him. And that's essentially like to tie it back to my boyfriend now. He is just the most like anti-confrontational person. He's just wants to be cool with everyone. He doesn't want any issues. He just wants to have fun, and he's uncomfortable with the cameras. I think he's afraid a little bit of like the past, which is fair because I am me, but I'm also a character. And for like a viewer in the show, they have to see kind of a pattern almost to like be able to relate. And with that being said, then it's like, okay, well, what's Juliet's relationship problem now? Cause she always has a relationship problem. And like, is he the one? One little sign will be like, he's not the one. And it just, it spirals. And it's been hard on our relationship. He absolutely hates it.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I get it.
Yeah. So
I got it.
Talking about that then, like, obviously the show's been on for 5 years, right? People have come and people have gone. You are pretty close to the girls that started the that you started the show with, even the ones that you've had massive issues with, like Kelsey. You guys have literally had physical altercations, but now it's seemingly all good, right? It's like you worked through a lot of stuff. But you've had like people come on the show that are newer. Do you feel like it's harder to get to know the people that come on that are newer? Like there's kind of like Jordana and all these other people. Do you feel like it's just like a divide?
So short answer, yes. Jordana and I finally become friends, and she's like an onion. She's got so many layers to her. I think she's an amazing person. She's had a hard life. She's had a lot of stuff happen.
Yeah.
And she's really sweet. She's just, you know, she's, it's hard because reality TV is like, you see what you, what they want you to see, when people are so much deeper than that. There's, there's so much to each person, and it's, you cannot just make a, an assessment off someone based off of like what she did at a party. So I've come to know Jordan, but you know, every time, like you said, they bring someone new on. I think it's like something that people understand, that you get airtime if you fuck with me, and maybe if you yell at her. And so that was Jordan's thing when she first came on the show. And now this season it's Megan's. And I'm like always on defense mode at the beginning of every season. I'm like, who's going to fight with me? Who's going to say something?
That must be pretty taxing, knowing that you guys started kind of on an even playing field and it was everybody sharing narrator responsibility. But now that it is essentially just from your perspective, there must be a lot to kind of like film a show like this, because everyone's essentially a spectator, but you're just kind of living your life.
Yeah. I think that I remember one time Kelsey tweeted that, like, I said something on the narration and I'm like, you know, I don't write that. Yeah. I did not write that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I get paid to read that paper, guys. Okay. Yeah. But I think it's been hard because I was for a really long time getting like special treatment, and that was totally not fair. And it really did like come to light, like the issues in the workplace. Like there was for sure times where I wasn't getting punished for the stuff I was doing. And even I knew that I could get away with it because they needed me. And it's hard on the other cast members sometimes, I think, because I do kind of get what I want more than them a little bit. Cause you know, they're always, after a while there becomes a tier system a little bit. And I think it's on every reality. I don't watch a ton of reality TV, but you know what I mean? I'm sure there's a similar dynamic in most workplaces, especially.
No Housewives, right?
Like, you don't watch any Housewives. I love them, but I don't watch it. Honestly, I'm a little triggered to watch Miami. By reality. I do. Well, I kind of know Lisa. Like, I've seen her out.
Lisa Hochstein.
And Larsa, I've met a couple times. I was going to go to the party in Miami, the viewing party for the first episode, but I'm going to be in LA, which is kind of sad.
If you ever dive into one of them, I think that's the one for you.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. It's a good one.
Yeah.
So what other reality shows did you kind of watch growing up? Like, you were like watching, you said recently you were rewatching some of The Hills.
Yeah.
What are you kind of like?
Oh my God. It's crazy because it's so old now.
Yeah.
The quality, of the picture. And it's really interesting because it's so short.
But even The Hills was like really good quality for that time. But even compared to,
The episodes are so fast. I'm like, what even happened?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really good. But I just watched the episode because I kind of like have it on in the background while I'm doing something else. And I just watched the episode where all the girls go to Miami and it's Kristen and Lo.
Oh, and Andrina,
The drug thing. And then that's listened to a podcast.
Pretty iconic.
Pretty iconic, but like, we're like, you're in
she
Miami,
comes out with the glasses and she has
like
the shawl on.
Capital of the world. Like,
and she comes out of the bedroom and she's like, it's been a long couple of days. She sounds like she had just smoked an entire pack of fucking Pall Malls. And she's like, it's been a long couple of days. It's like, girlfriend, you just got in like 6 a.m. It's cool though.
But Kristen said it in a podcast that Adam DeVello essentially like bribed Lo with a Birkin.
With a bag. Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
And I love it. I'm like, I know. Well, that literally happened on Siesta Key. Alex told Chloe to not tell Alyssa and gave her a bag to be quiet.
That's
nuts. Which we didn't even plan. Actually, Chloe is so maniacal. I bet she said bag because she was studying The Hills. I'm going to ask her that.
That's a good question.
She probably
Chloe
did it on purpose.
I'll ask Chloe. I'm going to have to get her on. We're going to like.
Yeah.
She seems like an interesting fucking person to like, you know.
She is the most interesting person I've like ever met. Like she is just, there's never a dull moment. There's always something new. She's one of my best friends. Like we talk all the time. She's my rock for sure. But we've had some crazy moments.
That's for sure.
But we did this together. So we're always kind of going to be together.
Do you have like a best moment from the entire show so far?
Yeah, I think it's you know, as I'm like being very transparent, because I feel like this isn't like a normal PR Siesta Key podcast. Yeah. Best moment was swim week for me. That episode's going to air.
Yeah.
But that week for me, I had so much anxiety. I was so nervous. You know, the show booked a bunch of stuff on my plate. I had a lot of stuff on my plate for JMP. My publicist booked a ton of stuff. And I'm a really normal girl. Like, even though people aren't going to see our faces right now, like, I just made myself dinner. I'm in my pajamas. I just want to like watch TV and go to bed. Having a week like that was crazy. And I wish I could have enjoyed that moment a little more. And I kind of almost resent production for that, because I remember kind of getting angry with them. I was like, guys, this is my moment. I need, you guys know I have anxiety. I need a moment to take it in, to compose myself. I don't even have a moment to think. And I'm so excited for that episode to air. And that was for sure the best part of the show, but it's really also one of the best moments of my life. Yeah, it doesn't even really have to do with the show. I can't think of a time on the show that I'm like, that was the best.
I think though, like, you'll look back though, you're only thinking about it because it hasn't aired yet and you lived it and you probably have like negative associations from being stressed out. But when you look back 5 years from now, you're going to be like, thank God that was recorded. I have like, that was shown on national TV, and you're going to appreciate the platform for, you know what I mean? You'll have a different, I'm a positive thinker in that way. I think you'll be right.
And I am too.
I think you'll just like in hindsight, you'll totally be like, it was worth it because of that. You know what I mean?
I'm in a constant battle of like getting over my like social anxiety and like my view of myself. Like, confidence is a full-time job.
Yeah.
And just having people there in those intimate, I mean, having people watch very intimate moments of your life, I don't know if it ever gets easier or if it's just me, you know, like Kim Kardashian was made for this. Like, she loves the camera. She loves it. Yeah. I don't hate it, but it definitely takes work for me, you know, more than it would others.
That's good though. That's probably a good space to be in, is to have like a mental divide and like really recognize when that stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure.
Do you have a worst moment from the show so far?
I mean, definitely the island episode with Kelsey. Oh. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely that moment. There are some other, like, I've sadly been
for everybody listening, but that was a moment where they kind of got into a physical altercation.
Sorry, guys, island. I forgot. Like, not everyone knows exactly what I'm talking about.
That's fine.
Yeah, we got in a physical altercation on an island. We were in the middle of nowhere. It was during COVID.
COVID, yeah.
It was during COVID. We had been drinking for like 11 hours, so things were getting fuzzy.
Yeah.
But there's those, you know, that's how reality TV is too. Also, it's like, there are a lot of things you
drinking.
And there are other moments I look back on where I also got in altercations. And I was telling my friend this today. I was like, I actually remember telling the producer, I can't go to that event because I know something bad's going to happen and I'm afraid and I don't want to do that. And they're like, well, you have to go. And I'm like, but I don't know how to control myself. And it's a very like difficult thing, because you're battling like your own intuition almost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so stressful.
It's stressful.
Do you feel like you would be more comfortable, or do you think that you would maybe, not to say that you're not enjoying the experience, but do you think you would have more fun if like your like very close friends were full-time cast members on the show with you?
I think almost everyone I know has been on the show, but all of them have been on it. Like, everyone,
but some of them kind of come in and out. Like, they're
sure. The thing is, not everyone wants everything out there. I speak with other cast members, like my friend Mike and I, who's also on the show, had this conversation. Like, if everyone just didn't care what everyone else thought, if we were fully open all the time, like, our show would be hilarious. It would be amazing. It'd be so real.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't be as beautiful, as cinematic, and you know, it's hard.
It'd be Summer House.
I need to watch Summer House.
If you've never seen it,
I know. I'm obsessed with Paige and Hannah. I listen to their podcast.
Hannah's like, been on here
religiously. Really? Oh my God. Love you Hannah. Have to introduce me to her. I feel like she's my best friend. She's a know who I am.
I will introduce you. I'll put you guys together after this. We'll talk offline. Yeah. It's really funny too, because I would never do reality TV, but not that I like, I have friends that are on shows too. Like, but mm-hmm. it's just for me, like I'm better online because I can share exactly what I want to share. And then I keep a lot of my private.
Shifting towards that for sure. I was thinking about doing a podcast and I'm like, wow, imagine just having control of what goes out there. Cause I don't have control. And I'm like, I would love some control.
But I'm sure everyone on this podcast is tired of me talking about this, but every once in a while I bring it up that they interviewed me for Summer House. So it was like, but I'm really nosy. So even though I would say no, I'd still did the interview process. Like they reached out to me and then they called me and we talked and all this stuff. And I was just like, this is hilarious, but you should
watch Summer House. I will watch it. My boyfriend was actually on Summer House. I forgot.
That checks out. Remember. I feel like that checks out.
I remember he said he went because I think we have friends in common. Hamptons. Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Everyone knows everyone.
I guess it's that way in New York. Yeah.
Yeah. He lived there for a couple of years, but he was there with a friend at a 4th of July party that was being filmed. And like one of the girls was flirting with him and he goes, what? He has like a drink in his hand. And then everyone on Reddit is like, oh my God, he is so thirsty to be on reality TV. That's why and he's dating you.
The exact opposite.
You see him on Summer House. I'm like, he's actually horrified.
But yeah.
Nice try.
Switching gears a bit, I want to talk about White Lotus because this is like our show, obviously.
This is how we connected. This is why this podcast is happening.
One concurrent theme through this entire season is that men are disappointing and sad. That's what I'm taking from it. Yeah. Whether it's like the trio of the grandfather with the father and the son, that whole scenario, the Theo James character. His God, college
so
friend
sexy, though.
I don't know, it's like we'll get there, but I'm like I can't even think about him that way anymore because
yeah
it's
I know
everything
he's
that's
kind of ruined now.
I
actually am really loving what they're doing with the men, not because I like the men, but God, even I remember season one of White Lotus, I had to turn the show off because it was too much for me. It reminded me so much of a relationship I was in at the time. I like freaked myself out. And
was it a relationship that was on the show or?
Yeah, with Sam. My ex-boyfriend, Sam.
Yeah.
Do you even know what I'm going to say? The couple.
Which couple?
Alexandra Daddario.
I'm trying to remember now.
Dark hair and her rich boyfriend and the mom that would always show up. Her rich husband, they had just gotten married.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So they reminded me so much of my relationship of my relationship with him. Because this guy's character in the first season was like kind of like, you should quit your job and you don't need to work and you just follow me, honey, like you're my side piece, you're like my trophy wife. And I was like, oh my God, I have to get out of my relationship. I like turned off White Lotus and I was like, I can't. But this season the men, they're just menning so hard. Like they remind me of like things I see in my father, not like the cheating, but just like this masculine energy that needs to be unlearned, where they're afraid to like face emotions. They're afraid to be honest. They rather hide things than have to face a problem.
Yeah.
I'm seeing it. I see it in my boyfriend right now. I'm like, wow, would do that. You're like, you're the type that like would rather avoid having a difficult moment than just like, have
getting it out.
I'm like, it's interesting. I just think it's amazing because I feel like the characters of this show just like check off every box that I know in my life. I'm like, yep, I know a gay like that, and
this is definitely getting deeper like this season for sure. Do you have a favorite character?
I really like, I'm bad with names though. What's the son of the
Albie.
You know, the grandfather, Albie. I like Albie. We're all caught up. I hope we're not going to spoil it for the viewers, but
no, we're caught.
I didn't see him hooking up with the prostitute.
See, I totally, the second that they sat next to each other, I was like, there it is. That's going to happen.
Well then, yeah. But like before, you know, in the first couple episodes, you're like, so like, where is everyone going to get connected?
Yeah.
It's really weird that him and his dad just hooked up with the same woman. No, but it's funny because like as we're having this conversation, mm-hmm. I'm like putting people from my life into these characters, and like I know someone just like the grandfather, I know someone just like the father, and I know someone like Albie. I'm like, this is weird.
Well, that's so fun. Well, okay, first off, Lucia is my favorite, the prostitute.
I love her, and she's so beautiful.
And at first I wasn't sure about her.
Now she's being humanized a little more because you see that she has a pimp that's kind of pressuring her. And I like that. Yeah.
And just like just getting more airtime, you're getting a different side of her. And she actually really likes Albie. It's funny you mentioned like placing these people in your life because if Siesta Key characters were White Lotus characters, I think Jordana would probably be Lucia.
Not
because she's a prostitute.
She's a whore.
No, not at all. But when you first probably see her on the show, you only get one facet of her, and it's not a good side. But the more you kind of learn about her, you're like, oh, she's an artist, and she's kind of been through a lot. And that just kind of reminded me of Lucia's like trajectory, right?
Kelsey would be what's the assistant's name?
Oh, Portia, kind of, right? Yeah. I was gonna say Kara is Portia because she's always complaining no matter what.
Yes, but Kelsey's always complaining. You just don't see it. No one frowns more than Kelsey. Love you, Kelsey, if you're gonna listen to this.
You're Harper.
Who's Harper?
Harper is the is it Aubrey Plaza?
Oh, I'm Harper. I was going to say that. I was going to, when I posted my story about White Lotus today, I was like,
she's pissed.
I feel like I'm Audrey Plaza.
And she's drunk and she's just like staring at them, smoking cigarettes, and just like, she's going to burn it all down. I just
ripping
feel like,
a cigarette.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's going to burn it down. And as I'm getting older, I'm starting to like be able to compose like what I would do. And although I don't know if I like
not
how
be so
she
reactive.
Handled, right, not be so reactive. I don't necessarily know if I like how she handled the condom wrapper thing, but I did like
that. I was
going to
ask you that.
And gave
I was
going to
ask what you were going to do. What would you do?
I did like that she asked him several times. She gave him multiple chances to tell her what had happened the night before.
Yeah.
And he didn't. And that speaks volumes. And I just went through a situation like this with my real life, like something that could have been easily fixed. Mm-hmm. You know, he could have been like, it was him. You know, I swear, I'm so sorry, you know, and she probably would have been like, okay, fine. But because he lied, it's like, what else are you lying about now?
Yeah.
Like, what else have you not told me? Why did you think that lying was a better, you know, so,
yeah.
And that's what, that's men, being men.
And not wanting
right
to deal
there.
With the, Brandon is probably the father.
Yes.
He's got a cheating past, but he's trying to kind of change. He's trying to kind of like, it's really,
And Gary, Alex's dad for the real ones that know Siesta Key is the grandfather.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That would check out. I don't like know him, but from the little bit we see.
Him. Yeah.
I feel like Chloe's Tanya, who's the Jennifer Coolidge.
Yeah.
For
I
some
can
reason.
See it.
A little bit
some
like
aspects.
Airy and just kind of like floating in and out. And
yeah, Chloe's definitely a little more vocal than Jennifer Coolidge's character.
Yeah.
And also is her. So her husband's cheating on her in the show.
He's cheating on her. That's why he left. That's what I mean, unless I'm like reading that wrong, but yeah, fuck him.
No,
but I mean,
you're not. There was something else I was reading wrong.
What?
Okay. Because I just spoke to Michael about this earlier. Him and I already had our White Lotus discussion this morning.
Okay.
That's
what Mondays are for.
Right. When, I'm so bad with the names. The wife of Theo James.
Her name is Daphne. Daphne.
When Daphne shows, oh my God, I'm going to do it again. Audrey Plaza's character, the photo when she said my trainer and she was,
and was
going
her kid.
To show, it was her kid.
Yeah.
So Michael's theory, and he went on a deep dive on like the internet about it, is that the kid is the trainer's, not Theo James's character.
Oh, so you think she has a kid with the trainer?
Like he's not the father. I don't know that we don't know, but that's a theory.
Okay. I guess I thought maybe
then why else do you think they did that?
I think that she's just, I think that what we're witnessing with her is a mental break. I think that she wasn't ready to hear that information. And I think that she's so used to putting on a face to save face that I think we're witnessing her like kind of breaking. And I think that she's just kind of like, and I think that, and it's kind of making sense now, because I do think she's involved in whatever happens to someone dying. I think she's involved, because that very first scene on the show, when she sits down on the beach chairs next to those two strangers, she just right off the bat, I read her as like, she's not all there. Like, she seems either drunk or just kind of like something just happened. You know how people just like.
Right. And in an ideal
after
world,
an accident.
In an ideal world, Theo James will die.
In an ideal world. I don't think he's going to die. I think that's too obvious.
Too obvious.
I think it's going to end up being like Mia, the other prostitute. I think because like.
No.
She just seems like she would pop something would happen to her because she's just like so innocent and like just wants to be a singer. And
maybe that pianist
comes back now that he's pissed that she drugged him.
Drugged him. Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know. There's a lot going on. There's like, there's things are.
Or maybe Albie freaks out, has a break. I don't know.
I don't know.
He's just too good.
I don't see it for him. Yeah. So wait, who do you think is.
Well, now you've swayed me to think that it's Daphne. I don't know. But the last scene of the show was interesting. Do you think Jennifer Coolidge is going to tell her assistant that the guys are gay, that he's not his nephew?
I don't think she's going to tell her, because I think she's I don't think they have that kind of relationship. But I do know, but what I do think is that they're being scammed. I think that this is what this guy does. He finds rich women and brings them out there. And I think he's probably just like, I don't know how they're going to scam them, but there's a reason.
Yeah, and they're obviously not. Husband going to come back? He's going to come back, right?
He's going to come back. I don't think he's going to come. Maybe he dies.
Yeah, I think he's coming back though. They kind of would have left that hanging if he doesn't return. And he said he was going to return, which is crazy.
We'll see,
just to come back to Italy? Like, who are you?
I feel like we've been here for 3 weeks on this vacation. So it's like,
I know. Yeah. It's funny because like in the beginning of the episode, she was like, why'd you lie to me yesterday? I'm like, yesterday? It's been like 2 weeks.
It's like the longest thing ever.
So funny.
So I want to talk more about the show. I want to go to the bonus episode, which is called the B-side. I want to play Fuck, Marry, Kill with some of these guys. I want to talk a little bit more about your show. I want to talk about like Kim Kardashian or whatever's going on there with all that drama, Nick Cannon.
Oh, I love Nick Cannon. He's just so interesting.
we were talking about that the other day too. And then I want to do superlatives for Siesta Key.
Okay.
But first off, tell the people more about your swimwear line and any projects you have coming up and where they can buy it. Is it just like on your website?
Yeah. So when is this airing?
So this will come out like in 2 days. Yeah.
Okay. I was
Probably like
Cyber
midweek.
Monday. So it's BOGO right now.
I wish right after.
Yeah. So my swim line is called JMP, The Label. I love it. I started it in March of 2021. You can find it at jmpthelabel.com, JMP The Label on Instagram, and we're really size inclusive, sustainable. We have so many collections out now. There's something for everyone. We have full coverage, high waist, one pieces, crochet. The crochet is my favorite. It's made in Bali, and you know, we just make it with so much love. I have a partner, her name is Jamie. I actually have two partners, but Jamie and I are the designers, and Jamie's been working in the industry for 30 years. We became best friends. And it's funny.
She's featured on the show.
She's on the show and David's on it a little bit too. It's funny because like I kind of went into this company like not really knowing them too well. And it's such a beautiful thing when you do take a risk and you know you follow your dream and then you're connected with such good people that have, you know, taught you so much. So I love where JMP is going. I would love for everyone that's listening to go check everything out, get yourself a suit and, you know, tell me your thoughts. I love hearing what people think about it and, you know, any news I can get there.
And then the fashion show is actually airing this week, right?
Yeah. I think it's next week.
What's next week?
I can actually pull it up on my calendar, but it's either next week or the week after. And it was such a magical moment. I mean, we really put in so much work and time, and it was so much fun. Like just going to the casting for Swim Week, there was like hundreds of girls and it was so fast paced. And like, that was, those are the moments I loved. I love that. And just meeting so many gorgeous models of like all shapes and sizes, and then finally seeing it all come to fruition and see them in the suits, fully stylized. I mean, we had an amazing designer, Rebecca Weinberg, or was it Weinstein? I think it's Weinberg. She used to do like Sex in the City, and she was a designer for that. And I mean, she was just such a, like a thrill, like a joy to work with, so much fun. The energy during Swim Week was amazing. So I really hope, I haven't seen the episode of Siesta Key, but I'm really excited for when I do, because I only get it the day before. That's the annoying thing about reality TV. I hope they really show all that. Yeah. Yeah.
You don't get to see stuff way ahead. It's always like, no, but they think they do that because they don't want you talking about it either. So
I'm trying to, I'm like, did I get her last name right? Weinberg, I was right.
Weinberg, okay. You were good.
Weinberg.
You guys watched that.
So I'm really excited, and I do want to see where, you know, I'm so excited where JMP's going and like how it's just going to gradually build over time. And it's interesting because this is like my first company, obviously.
Yeah.
Just, it is, you know, it's, everything's like slow growing. Like you don't typically see just like a huge like jump in everything. It's very rare. So it's nice to see how it's progressing over time. And you know, I just have such a big vision for where it's going. And I'm so happy that Siesta Key was able to give me this platform to do that. Cause I don't know if I would have had, I don't know if I would have had the guts to like go and do that, or like it's free advertising, the money.
And it's also like holding you accountable too, because sometimes when you do stuff, you might not, I don't know, you might just not take chances that you would take if you're on a show. You know what I mean?
For sure. For sure. I mean, I think that there's like a lot of responsibility with everything that I have now. Like I feel responsible, but that's also who I am as a person. I feel like I owe women the swim line of their dreams. Like I feel like that's my job. If I'm going to come out here and say that I have a swim line, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability, and I'm going to try to do it for everyone, for the good of the planet. I'm going to do the best I can. Same with like my Instagram. I look at it like I need to be true to myself so that I'm true for others, you know. I want to be me so that others can be themselves also.
You've got a really good like vision on it, because I talked to lots of housewives, and a lot of them have different brands, everything from whether it's swimwear or fashion lines or something. And you have like a really clear idea of what you want it to be, but also like, I really like, but I think that's also because you come from a place of like, I don't know, it's just like life experience or something too.
Like, and you're like a small town. Like I despise LA. And that's just like who I am though. Like, as you know, cause I've been to all like the parties with all the other people that are on reality TV or influencers and all that. And the more I see that, the more I know that I'm not really that. And the more that I love that, I'm like, good, because I'm not out here like just constantly posting photos of my asses. I'm actually able to connect with women who are ultimately going to maybe hopefully buy my product, rather than where I just have like an empty Instagram just for the sake of having followers, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, so.
You guys go to patreon.com/thebelist to subscribe to the bonus episode. We're going to continue the conversation over there. I want to do Fuck, Marry, Kill. Gotta know. Bye, guys.
Awesome. I'm excited. Bye, guys.
Bye.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.